Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Baba Kama Daf Pei Gimel, we are on Pei Beis Amud Beis on the very last line. In yesterday's Gemara, we learned that the Chachamim decreed that one is not allowed to engage in Chachmas Yevonis, Greek language and culture. Asks the Gemara, really? V'chachmas Yevonis me'asira? Is it true that one may not engage in Chachmas Yevonis? V'atanya, listen to this price. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe asked the question. I don't understand. Why in Eretz Yisrael, in certain portions of Eretz Yisrael, Tosfos says it's speaking about specifically about today's Syria, which was annexed to Eretz Yisrael. Why do they speak a sort of a funny language? But Eretz Yisrael, why do they speak Lashon Sursi? Lashon Sursi Lama. Why Lashon Sursi? Sursi relates to Syria, to Syria. So Sursi is like sort of a crossover. It's an in-between language. Why do they speak this type of language? Oy Lashon HaKodesh, Oy Lashon Yevonos. Speak the language, either Lashon Kodesh or Greek. Why this sort of, you know, a crossover dialect, this sort of slangy way of speaking? Rashi says, Lashon Kodesh, Lashon Yevonis, Lashon Tzach. It's clear, it's concise, it has clear expressions. The Sursi, on the other hand, is Lashon Nilaghu. It's sort of like an off-brand language. So, it would seem from Tosfos that in Syria, they sort of, you know, crossed over. They combined a bit of Lashon HaKodesh from Eretz Yisrael, because they were sort of in between Eretz Yisrael and Babel, right? So it was sort of a combined language, a bit of Lashon Kodesh, a bit of Aramaic. So it's not a clear, pure dialect. So why? Why are they speaking this language? Either Lashon HaKodesh all the way or Lashon Yevonis. V'amar Rabbi Yosi, likewise Rabbi Yosi had the same question regarding Bavel. Why do they speak Aramaic, which is sort of like a mixed up language? B'Bavel, Lashon Arami Lama, why Aramaic? Speak a straight, clear language. Oh, Lashon HaKodesh, right, like Eretz Yisrael. Oh, Lashon Parsi, like the Persians, which was nearby. Rashi says, here are the choices between Lashon Kodesh and Lashon Parsi, because Bavel was situated near both lands, right? And Rebbe was questioning why in Eretz Yisrael they were choosing Sursi rather than either Lashon HaKodesh or Lashon Yevonis, because Tosfos Rashi says Eretz Yisrael is closer to Yavan. So bottom line is, both Rebbe and Rav Yosef, or Rav Yosi, depending on the Gersa, suggested that, you know, people speak Greek. Apparently it's not off limits. Answers the Gemara, well, it depends if you're speaking about language or the culture. All the, you know, the cultural expressions and, you know, that type of thing. Amri, Lashon Yevani Lachud, Chachmas Yevani is Lachud. Lashon Yevani, it's not so terrible. Chachmas Yevanis is what's forbidden. Engaging in their expressions, in their cultural, you know, way of thinking and all that. Says the Gemara, even that seems to be okay. V'chachmas Yevanis mi'asira, do you mean that's asur? V'amar Yud, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who was alive at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk in Eicha says, Eini oilolo l'nafshi, my eyes are, you know, filled overloaded with tears and crying and, you know, muddled with sadness. Eini oilolo l'nafshi, mikoil b'nois iri. So my situation, my family's misfortune is greater, surpasses all the other residents of the city. Why? Elaf Yulodim Hoyuba Beis Abba. So he continues and he says, we had 1,000 you know, youngsters in our family. 500 of which learned Torah. 500 of which were engaged in Chachmas Yevanis. We had a very busy household before the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And due to the destruction, we were decimated. And the only ones left were Ella Anikan, myself over here, Ubenachi Ababa Asya, in a place called Asya, there's a nephew of my father's. That's it. So clearly, they learned Chachmas Yevanis, but it's forbidden. Answer, Amri, Shani Beis Ram Gamliel, Sheyu Krevim Lamalchus. They got a special pass because they were close to the authorities, and in order to properly, you know, interact with the royalty and engage in conversation and influence them and for the benefit of the greater, you know, Jewish community, they had to study this Chachmas Yevanis in order to, you know, relate to them and engage with them. But otherwise, you're not meant to be involved in this type of cultural, you know, immersion. Ugad Asaya Masapar Kumi, we have the same in a Braisa. If one dresses up with this Kumi type of hairdo, Rashi says, they would shave the, you know, the front of the head and leave the back long. This was sort of connected to Avodah Zarah. So one does that, even if it's not for the sake of Avodah Zarah, he's copying the dress code of the Goyim. Harezeh midarkei ha'emori, it's the Goyish way, it's a transgression of the Pasuk. U'b'chukoyseim le'seleichu, not meant to follow in their ways and styles. But there was an exception to the rule, Avtumas Baruvin. Him, they gave a heter. He tiru le saper kumi. You know why? Because of that reason. V'pneishu karv l'malchus, because he had that interaction with the royalty. Shabbos Rav Gamliel, oh, he tiru lehem l'saper b'chachmas Yevanis. Likewise, Chachmas Yevanis was allowed in Rav Gamliel's household for the same reason, for the betterment of the community, v'pneishu krevim l'malchus. Le'igal l'odem es ha-kelev, says the Mishnah, one should not raise a dog, Elam kein kosher b'shashaloi sol barzel, unless it's tied down with a chain. Tanur Rabbanon. Let's see the reason for this. One should never raise a dog, which can present danger. We're not speaking about a puppy or whatever, but a real dog that can present danger. Elam kein kosher b'shashaloi, unless it's tied down. Avo, there's an exception to the rule, if it's needed for, you know, the city's protection. Megadol hu ba'ir hasmucha l'sfar, in a city which is near the border with the Goyim. So there you can raise these watchdogs, because Shubayoyim, Matira Balayla, which is tied down by day and let out loose at night to detect any, you know, potential attackers. Tanya, Rabbi Lezer Agod Lo'imer, Hamagadal Kalavim Kumagadal Chazirim. Raising dogs is tantamount to raising swine. Mind of Kamina, what's the point of this equation? L'mekam Alei Ba'orah. To teach that just like there's a curse, an error, for Megadal Chazirim, like we learned yesterday, the same regarding Megadal Kalavim. Omar of Yosef, Barman Yumi, Omar of Nachman, Bavel, the province of Bavel, which was bordering on the, you know, Goyisha territory, Kiras Mukhal Esfaradami, there's an area there which is regarded as a border town, Targum and Naharda, which was applied to Naharda. So over there, they were able to, you know, raise these guard dogs to guard the border. Okay, now let's get down to the sword. Why? What's the issue with the dogs? So he expounded on the following pasuk: Ubenucha Yaimar, Shuvah Hashem Rivavois Alpha Yisrael. Hashem rests on Rivavois. Rivavois 10,000, twice 10,000 is 20,000. Alpha, two times 1,000, it's another two. A total of 22,000 required, the required number of Bnei Yisrael to solicit the Hashra'as Hashchina, the resting of the Shechina, the presence of Hashem. L'lamedcha, this teaches us, She'eina Shechina Shoira al Yisrael, in order for us to experience this higher, elevated presence of Hashem's Shechina, of course, even, you know, when there are 10 people, a minion, we have the Shechina that enables us, you know, to daven Betzibur and, you know, read the Torah, but as Tosis points out, here we're speaking about a higher level of Shechina, comparable to the Shechina in the Midbar, which rested on the Levim, which numbered this amount, 22,000. So, if it's less than that, you don't get this level of Shechina. She'en Shechina Shoyra al Yisrael, you need no less than Pachos Mishnei Alafim Mishnei Ravavos. Okay, so now imagine, Harei Shehoy Yisrael, the Bach adds these words. So imagine, if Klal Yisrael now numbers Harei Shehoy Yisrael Shnei Alafim Mishnei Ravavos, right, 22,000 minus 1, Chasur Echad. Okay, here we have an Isha about to give birth, which is about to present us with, you know, with the magic number of 22,000. And imagine a dog comes by and destroys the fetus. The dog comes and barks, terrifies her, and she miscarries. So we lost that opportunity. Who brought this about? Who made us lose this opportunity? The dog owner. So that's the point of not raising dogs, to avoid this element of fear which can terrify people and cause damage. We have a story about this woman, Ayitisa, the Alas Lameifa, Baobesa. She went into this neighbor's house to bake her bread. The fellow had a very scary dog. Navach Bakalba. He started barking at her. Omar Lamaris, the owner turns to her, don't worry, he's a nice dog. You know, the guy always, he's a nice dog, he doesn't bite. Omar Lamaris, like to stop him, don't worry about this dog. Shkuli Neva, already removed his, his long, sharp teeth have been removed. No danger involved. Omar Lamaris, she turns to him, thank you very much, but no thank you, it's too late. Shkili Tivusech, take your favor, Vishad Yachirjit, throw it onto the thorns. Just an expression, meaning, there's no point in your favors anymore. It's too late. Kvar nod vlad. My fetus has already been uprooted and it's too late. It's over. A person nishbin liyonim v'chulu. So with respect to setting up dove traps, bird traps, it's got to be done at a reasonable distance from the city, which the Mishnah pegs at 30 ris. Asks the Gemara. The concern, of course, is because if his thing is set up closer to the city, he might ensnare local birds, which have owners. So keep far, far away. Keep a safe distance. Umi asli kulihai. Do you mean that the local, city birds will travel up to 30 ris? That's really a huge distance. We have a Mishnah in Meseches of Basra. Speaking about placing reasonable distance between mazikim. So if you have a shoivach, a birdhouse, which has your birds in it, and the assumption is that they'll be making their rounds in the neighborhood to peck and get their food. So how far away from the city should you place this birdhouse, lest they go and feed off the city's residents. 50 amma, that's enough. Apparently they don't travel more than 50 amma. Here we say 30 ris, huge difference. Amar Abaye, depends for what. Meisha chaiti tuva. Of course birds fly huge distances. But when we speak about the concern of feeding off the town, karsayu their stomach. Bechamishim amma malya gets filled, by pecking 50 amma. Of remnants, whatever, bird feet that they find in the ground. So they're pecking, they get to the 50 amma mark, they're done, they're done eating. So as long as you keep it 50 amma off the city, they're not going to eat off the city. But fly, once they're full, they can fly. So the max is 30 ris, right? No more than 30? Atanya b'yishuv, if it's inhabited area, afilu mea mil leifres. You shouldn't be setting up your traps even 100 mil away. Apparently, they travel more than 30 ris. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Bishav Kram. Typically, they only fly, a distance of 30 ris. But if it's an area which is full of kramim, vineyards, so Rashi says, they use it as their stopovers. Shahilech mikerem lekerem ala merochek, and that allows them to extend their trip. Rabba Amar Bishav Shevach. We're speaking that there are birdhouses situated along the way. So once again, they use it as stopovers and they just, keep on flying and flying. But if it's just empty space, 30 ris is adequate a distance. Asks the Gemara, well, we're telling you not to set up your shayvach, sorry, not to set up your trap, if it's a mokam yishev, even 100 mil away, because of the, according to Rabbah, because of the shayvachin situated along the road, which enables the birds to just keep on flying and flying and flying, and they could be birds that are owned, you know, by people, and you're going to be ensnaring them, right? Asks the Gemara, v'tepik l'mishim shayvachin. So we're saying v'yishev afilu mea mil. Well, if it's a mokam yishev, which, like we explained, encourages the birds to keep on flying, so even if you're 100 mil away from the city, you can't put up your trap. According to Rabbah, we're speaking that there are shevachin along the route, and shevachin typically house birds. So in any case, you shouldn't be putting your trap near those shevachin. Skip the city 100 mil away. Forget about that factor. You have shevachin nearby, which you're meant to keep away from with your traps and your nets. So I have three tirutzim and why the shevachin don't pose a concern. They belong to Goyim. They're ownerless. This fellow himself setting up the trap, he owns those shevach and they're his birds, so there's no concern there. Hadron Lach Meruba. Okay, we get a new perek, perek Achevel, the eighth perek of Avakama, which focuses primarily on physical damages. Achevel b'chaver. So Reuven strikes at Shimon and injures him. Chayevel of Mishim Chamisha Dvar. So it's not an easy way out. You don't just, you know, give him the credit card and pay up, you know, a set compensation amount. There are actually five separate liabilities, which are benezek, bitzar, beripui, b'sheves, or b'sheves. The Gemara will explain everything in great detail. Number one is benezek. Benezek ketzad. How do you evaluate damage? A person, a free person, typically doesn't have monetary value. He's valueless. He's beyond value, right? Priceless. So what does nezek mean? By the way, Rashi says everything is learned from psukim. The concept of paying nezek is learned from ayin tachas ayin. Tsar is learned from petza tachas petza. Ripui, doctor bills, well, it says rapi rapi. Sheves, unemployment, it says rakshiv tayitim. And boishes, we have the pasuk there, with the woman who embarrassed him, there is monetary compensation to be paid. Okay, so let's elaborate on each one. Benezek ketzad, how do you evaluate damages? Simi is enoi. Suppose he blinded him. Kitas yada, he removed his hand. Shibes ragli, broke his foot. Right, I say. We proceed as follows. We view this victim, ki'ilu hu eved nimka b'shuk, as though he's right now a fellow on the slave block, about to be sold as a slave. By the way, Rashi says, an eved ivri, a Jewish slave, which is only a 6 year or 10 year. Others ask on Rashi, what do you mean? What happened to the rest of his life? He lost this value permanently. So the Rosh says, an Eved Kanani, like a non-Jewish slave, so, you know, actual value for the rest of your life. Whereas others explain that Rashi meant to say, sure, like an Eved Ivri, but you sort of add, how much would he be sold for the next 6 years? And then he goes free, of course. And once again, how much would he be sold for the next 6 years, for the rest of his life? It's kind of tricky to evaluate it, because how many years is he meant to live? So, in any case, the point is, we evaluate him as though he'd be sold as an Eved, however you learn. So, Royan Isaac Hilu Eved Nimka B'Shuk, view him as though he was a potential slave sold on the market. And we estimate, we appraise, Kamahu Yahya Yafe, how much was he worth prior to this injury, but Kamahu Yafe, and how much is he worth now, which is a huge amount, right? Difference between yes hand and no hand could be hundreds of thousands, a huge amount of money. So that's the sort of the ikar, the primary compensation payout, the actual loss of value. Next comes tsar, pain. Because, you know, theoretically, he could have done this without inflicting pain. He could have removed his hand, amputated it by a painless amputation with anesthesia, whatever. So the point of the tsar is an additional layer. He inflicted hurt and pain. So kavai b'shvud, ay b'masmer. And on the flip side, you know, you can have tsar without nezek. For instance, he burnt them with a red hot rod, a masper or a nail. Even on his nail, took a red hot nail and put it on the victim's, you know, fingernails. Makim she'ina isei chabura, without inflicting any visible damage. But he caused them tsar. Pay up. Oimgen, how do we put it into numbers? Once again, we estimate. Kama adam kayetze bazeh roitze litoil lios mitzar kach. How much would a person be willing to accept? How much money can you tempt a person with that he should be willing to experience this pain? That's the value of the pain. That's how much you pay. Ripoy, doctor bills. He ko chavra poise. He injures him. He has to heal him. He has to pay for his medicine. All the way to machem. So now we have an infected wound with all kinds of imach masam makachay. If we attribute it to the injury, so the attacker has to pay. Shaloi mach masam makapata. But if it's unrelated to the injury, no pay. Chayisa v'nistra. Let's say the wound healed. Chayisa v'nistra, and then it's back wounded again. Chayisa v'nistra, back and forth. Chayv darapoyse. He has to heal him until the very end. Chayisa called sarcha. But let's say we know it's fully healed, and then somehow later, you know, reopened. He's not responsible. Sheves, what is that? Unemployment. So Rashi explains the first initial nezek payment really addressed the fact that he's now not able to engage in, you know, bricklaying any longer. He doesn't have a hand. So that payment is really the primary, you know, loss of wages type of payment. He can no longer serve in his previous capacity. But even a person without a hand, Rahman al Islam, can still be a Shemir Kishuin, can still be employed as a night watchman, right? He can engage in just, you know, very basic work. So, but now he's lying in the hospital, he's recovering, he can't even do that. So that's an additional liability. That's called Sheves. So we view him kilu shemir kishun as though he would be employed as a cucumber watchman. Shekvar nosan loy dmei yado dmei raglay. But he doesn't have to pay him for losing his, you know, his regular day job, because that already paid him when he compensated him for the dmei yado dmei raglay loss of his limbs. That's all included in that. This is an additional point that he's missing even basic work. And finally, we have boishes, shame, embarrassment. How do you evaluate that? Again, it's contextual, circumstantial. Hakoy lefi ha-mevayish, depending on who the attacker was. So the more lowly the attacker, the more embarrassing it is. Ha-mevayish, and in terms of the status of the victim. The more prominent a victim, the more embarrassing it is. Bottom line is the Mishnah is rooted in a very fundamental principle that when a person injures, when a person attacks his friend, he blinds him. Chas v'shalom. We don't do the same back to the attacker. No. It's all about monetary compensation. Amai. How do you know that, says the Gemara? Look at the pasuk. Ayin tachas ayin. An eye for eye. Literally. Amar achmona. That's the pasuk. Eima ayin mamash. Perhaps. We take it literally. Lo yisakadaitach. You can't suggest that it's literal. The Sanya, listen to this price. Have a whole long brisa, it's an explanation. Ultimately, it's going to be monetary compensation. Perhaps he blinded him, he gets blinded. Kitas yodet, kateas yodet. He amputated his hand, he gets amputated. Shibas raglet, shabas raglet, breaks his foot, we break his. Tamadloimar, no. Make oda, make behemo. The pasuk enwraps striking a person to striking an animal. And we know, ma maka behima letashlim, just like one strikes an animal, kills or injures an animal, it's monetary payment, that's it. Af maka adam letashlim, likewise, upon injuring a person, no difference. So that's how we know. Now, if you insist on challenging this source, why would you? The Gemara later will explain. So we have an alternate source. Harayu oimer, Rav Pasik, leisikhu kaifel nefesh v'tzeach. Never accept compensation, monetary payment from a person who murdered, Ashahu Rasha Lamas, who's liable to death. So you learn from there, Lenefesh Ritzeach, Yatalikiach Kaifer. We never accept payments from a murderer. Aval Atalikiach Kaifer, but you can accept payment you must accept payment. The person removes, you know, limbs permanently. So basically, injury triggers compensation. Okay, now, we have two sources, the first of which was based on the pasuk maka adam maka behema. Striking a person, striking an animal, they both elicit payments. Hi maka, which pasuk of maka? Ilei maka behemishal mano, or maka adam yumas? Is it that pasuk? Ho b'taloksiv. That's going on actually killing the person. We're speaking that he injured his parents, whatever. We're speaking about a case where he actually gets put to death by the Bezdin. We're not speaking about it just inflicting injury on one's friend. Rather, we're speaking on a different pasuk. Maka nefesh beim yishal mena, right? If he strikes the animal, he pays for it. Nefesh tachas nefesh, v'samach lein. Then we speak about Reuben injuring Shimon. V'ish ki itin mum ba'mitoi, right? He inflicts a mum, a blemish, he injures him. Kashu asu kin yasaloi. So we respond in kind. Asks the Gemara, hold it. That's not a gzera shava of maka adam maka behemo. Hai lav makahu. The word maka is only by the animal here, maka nefesh behemo. But by the adam, inflicting injuries on his front, it doesn't say maka, it says ki itin mum. Right? So how could you connect the two psukim? They're not the same lashon. Answers the Gemara, well, it's close enough. Hakah hakah kamrinan. You know, you don't need literally the same, you know, the same actual word to make the gzera shava. As long as in their meanings, they mean the same thing. So maka nefesh behemah means he struck the behemah, and ki yitin mum bamita means he struck his friend. And we connect it to, and we say ma hakah amura b'behemah tashlumin, just like by the animal it's payment, af hakah amura b'ad mashlumin, by the man it's also payment. V'oksiv v'ish ki yakin kol nevash adam oisyumas. But what about the pasuk? Person strikes another person, and they were speaking about injuring, Rashi says, oisyumas, he gets put to death. Apparently, it doesn't mean payment, it means, you know, whatever he did to his friend, you do to him. And Rashi explains, you know, the pasuk right after says, ayin tachas ayin, right? Eye for eye. So when it says, maisumas, doesn't mean we put him to death. It means to say that we incapacitate this specific limb in exchange for what he did to his friend. So he loses his eyesight. Rashi says, kalema yinote levar of yomos oise ever. We put that aver is put to death, so to speak. So, yeah, it sounds like it's literal, not payment. B'mamin, no, says the Gemara, it's payment. M'maydi b'mamin, how do you know? Eima b'misa mamish, maybe it's literal. Like Sakadat, you can't say that. Chada da iskish l'maka behema. First of all, we just had that connection. L'maka behema shalmena. Just like there, it's payment here as well. V'oid k'sibasrei, likewise. Additionally, we have the pasuk right after. Kasher yitin mum ba'adam keinosin bay. V'shmamin amamin. Just as he inflicted a mum ba'adam, likewise will be done to him. And you're not saying boy. In a scene is something that you handle, you transfer. So payment is something that you give and you transfer. So apparently we're speaking about paying. Okay, so bottom line, we concluded that chavola, injuring, attacking a person, elicits not literal, you know, a literal response. Physical response, rather a monetary liability. Now the Bryce initially had this Gzeira Shava, and then said, well, you know, you might actually challenge the Gzeira Shava, so we have the other pasuk. What would have been our theoretical, you know, challenge to the Gzeira Shava, which elicited the new pasuk, the new source? Umayim nafshach leimar. Says the Gemara, suka kashi l'tana, because the Tana really had another question, which he alluded to with these words. You're learning Adam from Behema, right? My chaz is the office of Maka Behema. Leilof Maka Adam. You sort of have a choice. On one side of the spectrum, Maka Behema, Yishalmena, he strikes an animal, he pays. Monetary payment. On the other side of the spectrum, you have, when you kill a person, the attacker is put to death. So it's literal. Misa Mamish. So now in the middle, you have a person injuring his friend. Which way do we go? You chose to connect it to the right, to the Makkah Behemah. Who says? My Chazis. The office of Makkah Behemah. In which case, it's just monetary payment. Leila for Makkah Adam. Let's connect it to striking a person and killing him. In which case, he also gets killed. Likewise, if he injures him, we should injure him. Amri's answer is, Donin Nizakim Minizakim. Vein Donin Nizakim Mimisa. So the response to that could be very simple. It's more likely to learn damages from damages. Damaging a person, damaging an animal. Even killing an animal constitutes just damage, monetary damage, right? It's not murder. Vein Zok, Donin Nizakim Mimisa, as opposed to learning human damages from human murder. Different thing, right? So why would you even suggest, right, to go there? Adrav, or just the opposite? It's more likely to learn person from person than from animal, right? Done in Adam, Adam, being done in rather than learning Adam from Mibahema. So that's the question that we were bothered by. Why would you go to Behema if you can go to Adam? And then it's literal. Hanidatani, that's the point of the Brisa. Nafshach Leimer. Suppose you come up with this sort of challenge. I'll give you another source for the same idea. Haru Oimer, that's the puzzle. Sikhu Kaifel Nefesh Ritzeach, Asher Rosh Alamus. Ki mois yumas. A murderer doesn't get away with payments. He's put to death. And we have a diuk. L'nefesh v'ritzeach yata l'kiach kofer. Kofer, monetary, you know, bailout, is not applied to a nefesh v'ritzeach. Aval yata l'kiach kofer. L'rosh yivarem she'en chayshem. But it is applied to injuries. Asks the Gemara, v'hai lo yisikhu kofer. L'nefesh v'ritzeach l'muti rosh yivarem v'da'asa. Who says the pasuk is coming to differentiate between a murderer or just an attacker? Haimi boyle, it's coming for something else. The Amar Rahman, the pasuk is telling you very simply, lo yisavet beitarti, lo yisishkol minei momen v'siktule. A person who murders don't apply two penalties, put him to death and charge him money. Maybe that's the point of the pasuk, not to teach us anything regarding chavolos and injuries. Answers the Gemara, well, hai michtei rishasei nafka. For that, you don't need a new pot. We have a different source for that. Double penalty? No. One punishment. Risha achas ata machayvai. V'ata machayvai shtei rishoyis. You can only apply one penalty to a person at a time. So the pasuk is not needed for that. Rather, to tell us that injury triggers monetary liabilities. V'akatim yibayli. But the pasuk is still needed for something else. The Kamar Achmana, pasuk is teaching us, very simple. Person murderers, don't let him bail himself out with payments. That's the point of the pasuk. Unrelated to injuries and to our discussion. In Cain, if it was only for that purpose, Licht Rachmana, the pasuk would simplify its expression. Leisikhu kaifer, right? Don't accept kaifer. Lashem Rosh Alamos. From a person who is bound to be put to death. Why add the word lenefesh ritzeach? It's an added expression. Normally, what's that for? Shema Aminah, to teach us this additional point. Only a ritzeach doesn't enjoy this privilege of, monetary bailout. Lenefesh ritzeach yatel lekeach kofer aval, but yes, atel lekeach kofer for injuries. L'rosh yivarem she'en chayshim. Asks the Gemara. Now, let's go the other way. Once we have the second pasuk, why do we need that whole first discussion? V'chamiachad d'chsu le'sikhu kofer. Once we know there's no kofer for the nefesh ritzeach, but there is for the injuries, so we know that's it. Maka lamali, why do we need that extra gzera shava to teach us the same thing that when you injure, you pay? Amri's answer is like this. Pasuk 2 is not sufficient. Imi hai, if only from pasuk 2 I would say, Iboi, he has a choice. He has two options. You knock out an eye? Okay, it's up to you. Whatever you value more, your body or your money. The Gemara Bracha says, the pasuk says, "Va'ahavta," as Hashem lekecha b'chol levavcha, right? B'chol nafshecha, or your actual life. B'chol meidecha, you love Hashem more dearly than your money, right? You're ready to give away your money for Hashem. Well, if a person is ready to give away his life, my son nefesh. So of course it's money. The Gemara says it's not so simple. Some people value their life more than their money, and some people put their wealth above their life. So perhaps it's up to the person. Iboy, if he chooses Einoy to give his eye away, Nasif. Iboy, Dmei Einoy, Nasif. He wishes to give away his eye, isn't it? You want to pay for it, isn't it? So you have a choice. We don't insist and that you do either one. You have a choice. Kamashmal, that's the point of the other Gzeirah Shavah. No. It's not like you have a choice. Behemah. We learn from the Behemah. Ma maka behemah tashlumim. Just like by the Behemah, it's just about payment. Af maka adam tashlumim. Likewise, maka a person, all there is payment. We don't give you an option of saving your money and, sacrificing a limb. Okay, bottom line is, we learned about Chachmas Yevanis, which was mutter to the craving Lamalchus. We learned about taking care not to scare people with the animals. We have the halacha of taking care with respect to setting up traps and birdhouses. And Chayvel Chaveiro is Chayev Mishum Chamisha Dvarim. Nezek is monetary payment, not literal retribution. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.